Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast, episode 24. 24, Keishi, do you have any quick stats on the number 24? There are 24 hours in a day.
I think that's more than good enough.
12 plus 12 is 24.
And 3 times 8 is 24.
And 24 is on someone's basketball jersey, but I have no idea who. Anyway, my name is Yuri, and I'm joined by Keishi.
Hey, Yuri, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. 24 on a scale of 0 to 24.
Oh, you're 24 out of 24. 24 was also a show with that guy. I forget his name. Wow, we're really not helpful here. You know, that guy, there's always like 24 hours and they had to like, he was like an anti-terrorist
girl. Oh, yeah, 24.
Yeah. I just don't remember his name because it's like from an early 2000s. I guess the next question is, what are you drinking today?
Today I'm drinking Orangina Muscat Sparkling, which seems to be a limited edition of Orangina, which is like a more natural Fanta, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you guys have it in America? Not sure if I've seen it there.
No, because
we have it in Europe.
But. The name alone is the reason why it's not available in America. Orangina, you know, it can be pronounced in unusual ways and people will make fun of it. Yeah.
It says like cow piss.
Yeah. Orangina is the first thing I thought of it when I read that name. And I was like, what's an Orangina?
Yeah. But anyways, I just tried it. It's pretty good. Mix of oranges and grape juice, a sparkling.
Okay.
How about yourself?
I'm drinking something similar. I'm drinking orange flavored water, like last time or two episodes back when I was drinking grape flavored water.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's pretty amazing that we've done this for probably more than a dozen episodes now, and we're very far from running out of drinks to talk about.
If we ever run out of topics about side hustles, we can always do drinks because drinks never stop.
And then we can do consulting for drink companies inside.
Yeah. And speaking of all the episodes that we did and all the drinks that we did, I think we also hit a quick little milestone, or we're approaching one. We started this podcast back in May, right? May 12th was the first episode?
Yeah, May 12th, Wednesday, was the first time that we published an episode.
May 13th was Wednesday. Or maybe we started a day early. Doesn't matter.
Or maybe it's May 12th American time. May 13th, Japan time.
But either way, it's a half a year milestone.
Yeah, we do for half a year. I think we've missed a month.
Still counts.
Other than that, we've been pretty consistent. Every Wednesday, Japan time. Every Tuesday, I guess, America time.
Yeah. It would be... No, if we publish Wednesday night, then it's Wednesday morning, America time.
That's right. So
that's right. And let's jump into today's podcast. Today's theme actually is something similar to what we did before, and I think it was a really good episode where we did kind of a lightning round questions about side hustles, right?
Yeah, we generated a list of questions that people search on Google about side hustles the other day, and this time it's about blogging. And we'll each take turns, Yuri and I, at answering them relatively briefly, and then each of us will have a chance to add any remarks to the other person answer the question.
Yeah. And we have about 50 questions to run through, and it'll be interesting to see if we can run through them all.
Yeah, I think last time we went through 25, 26, 27. So,
somewhere in that range, yeah.
That sounds like a good number to aim for. We might do a bit more, we might do a bit less. Let's see. You want to start by choosing the first question?
Sure. I guess the first and easiest question I can ask you is, what is a blog?
All right. So I think in the past, blogs started essentially as kind of online diaries for people, I guess. People would blog about their day or about something, and they would regularly write about a topic. I think more recently, the meaning of the word has sort of evolved, or what people imagine under the word has sort of evolved, especially in the side hustling community. And now I think it just pretty much any website where the content is not fixed, but where the content is kind of added on an ongoing basis, and where you're adding articles and posts about a certain topic. So I guess, long story short, I guess you could say it's like an online magazine or something of that.
Yeah, I would agree there. It's like it ranges from anywhere from an online magazine posting entries about, you know, their information about topic X. Like, let's say if it's a magazine about pets, then they'll be like, here's how to take care of your dog, here's how to, what kind of walks you should take your dog on, how to give it the right food, things like that, to something more personal, like someone's personal diary, like you said. At first, you know, there was the Zanga blogs where people posted their journals online. So I'm pretty sure some of it still exists today, but probably not as at the same level as it was at the start of the internet.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a pretty good answer. I think we pretty much told what a blog is, and I think a lot of people have an idea to an extent or another about what it is. But here's my question, and it's kind of related. What is the difference between a blog and a website?
Okay. So a website is essentially a .com or .org, whatnot. A website is an over-encompassing term for, you know, a blog or a page or whatever on the internet. If you go to www.somethingsomething.com, that is a website. Now, a blog is more so refers to, you know, people write daily or weekly or whatever entries on the, and they post it on the website. So a blog is part of a website. I think these terms can be used interchangeably. A blog can be a website. A website can be a blog. Wait, let me think about that. A blog can be a website. Yes, a blog can be a website, because if you go to www.blog.com and that's a blog, then that's a blog and that's also a website. A website can also be a blog. Can a website be also a blog? No, because a blog is a specific form. If you have a website and it's just one page, then it's not a blog. It's just one page. It's a web page, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I just added every blog is a website, but not every website is a blog.
Yeah.
As we mentioned a number of times, blogs are usually updated on an ongoing basis. There's new content being added, whereas quote-unquote a website is what a lot of people would imagine as a website is, let's say, go to a website of the Coca-Cola company, of some other company, or of some other thing that doesn't change. That just has some sort of information that is pretty static and that stays the same for a relatively long period of time.
I have a question for you, but it's not on the list, but it's a question I've kind of thought of right now. The question is, before I get into it, we often talk about blogs, and because we both run blogs, and based on the question, what's the difference between a blog? I kind of want to ask, what is the big deal about a blog? And I want to ask it from the perspective of a common everyday person. If they hear the word blog, they think, oh, you're just writing your online journal on the internet. They don't quite get what the big deal about a blog is. So it's kind of a big question, but I wanted to ask it from our perspective. What is the big deal about a blog?
Yeah, I think I guess one of the big deals is that essentially it's media, right? It's like your own little magazine. And just like magazines, you can make money with it in many forms or shapes. And also, if you're not doing it for the money, you can still build a decent-sized audience, build a huge audience in some cases, and share your message with people, share your thoughts with people, and share your content with people. So I guess the big deal is just it gives you a platform to provide information, to provide entertainment, or whatever it might be that you want to share with the world, and potentially make some money along the way, or change how people think, or whatever it is that you're aiming to do. It just like any other type of media, whether it's TV or radio or magazine, newspaper.
Okay, that's a good answer. I have nothing to add to that. I just wanted to hear your take on it.
All right, my turn.
Yep.
All right. So here's my next question. How to start a blog?
How to start a blog? There's many ways. You can go to wordpress.org and sign up for a free blog. You can go to Blogspot. I think it still exists. You can go to Medium, sign up for an account. And once you have the account, press new post, write in a title, write a post, blah, 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 press publish, and now you have a blog. So, or you can go to a website like GoDaddy.com or Bluehost, buy a domain like yurisblog.com, and do the same thing. Install WordPress, type up a title, type up an entry, press publish, and that's how you start a blog.
Great. I have nothing to add to that. And you just got to set up the platform and then just write your first post. And I guess that counts as having started a blog.
Yeah. Or even Tumblr, same thing. Tumblr is a social network. Although I think initially it was designed for blogging, but people don't use it as such. But it can be used. Just go there, sign up. That's it. Make a text post. And it's as simple as that. And I think I covered both how to start a blog and how to start a blog for free. Because if you want to own your domain, if you want to own the property on which you publish on, then you should buy a website and you should buy hosting. If you don't really care, if you're just starting out, try out just WordPress.org, try Tumblr, try Medium, try Blogspot.
Yeah, I would just add, if you're any sort of serious, just sacrifice the $20 or $15 from the very beginning.
Actually, it's called Blogger.com. Oh, yeah. So my backtrack, it's called blogger.com, not Blogspot. I think I was confusing something over there. But anyway, back to you. Here's a question. What should I blog about? What should a person blog about? I think when a person is considering or wants to start something, their next question is, what do I write about?
That's a good question. And I think it's kind of easy on the surface, but I think it's really difficult underneath, because at least if you're serious about starting a blog and running a blog and growing a blog, it's something you will have to do on a daily or weekly or whatever sort of regularity basis. So it can be just like, all right, I'll do a blog about, I don't know, sunflowers, just because you either think there's some monetary potential about sunflowers or just because your latest interest is sunflowers, but it's not something that you're too deeply interested in, right? So I'd say there's two ways, and one is just choose whatever it is that you're passionate about, and that's kind of how my first blog was, and that was just about aviation, something I love, aircraft, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other way is choose where the money is, and that's kind of how I tried my second blog. Didn't work out as well. And then I guess the third way is find something that you're passionate about or that you enjoy to an extent or another, and where the money is. And that's kind of how one of my more recent blogs started, and that one's pretty much killing it. So yeah, those are kind of the three approaches I think you can.
Yeah. If you're just starting out, you should just pick what you like and you can write about so you can stay consistent with it.
Yeah, I agree. I think if I didn't start my aircraft blog and take it to some sort of level of, I guess, success, small success, I would never have actually gotten to sticking with building some of the other blogs that I have now.
All right.
All right, so let me ask you, how to get traffic to your blog now that you've written your first post, your first 2, 3, 4, 5 posts?
There are multiple ways. So first thing, easiest thing you could do is you could take the link from your blog post and share it with your friends on Facebook. You can also do it on Twitter. You can also make a nice picture and share it to Pinterest and hope someone finds it over there. That's the first step, yeah. Or you can email it to your friends. The next step is you can get more a little more advanced with it. Is you write the blog post in such a way that it gets picked up by Google. So you write it, you make it SEO friendly, you insert certain keywords, you make, you know, sub headlines and subheadlines containing the keywords so that Google can scan it and understand what it's about. And that way it'll get ranked or get listed up on the Google traffic, not Google traffic, in the Google search engine.
Yeah.
What about you? How would you answer this?
Yeah, I think you pretty much covered it. I think there's essentially three ways. And one is just organic traffic, Google, optimizing the blog post in a way that get you search traffic. Personally, I think that's by far the best method, just because it tends to last for long and it's quote unquote passive to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
I think number two that a lot of people use nowadays is Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
I think you did some Pinterest as well with your blogs.
Yeah.
And number three would be just everything else for me. That could be paid traffic, if that's how you want to go about it. So running ads, or it could be, I don't know, Facebook or Twitter and so on. But not sure how good those are generating traffic. I'm not really.
Okay. All right. My next question to you is how to write a blog post fast.
All right. Here's an answer where I'm going to cheat, which is hire somebody to do it.
Yeah.
And to actually write it fast. That's a good question. I guess it's good to start with some sort of solid outline.
Mm-hmm.
and solid research, because then once you have all the stuff that you want to write about and it's all structured in a way it should be, then typing it up is pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in either case, I would just split it into the research and outlining part and the writing part, because I think when you do both of them at the same time, it can get pretty slow.
Yeah.
You write something, you go back to check things, you write it, you go back. So as I said, do your research and outlining first and then just type it up. You might still need to do some additional research, but it just speed up those.
Agreed. Having an outline really makes things easier to write.
All right. Going back to the traffic, here's a question that I think a lot of people have after they write their first or second or third or fourth or fifth blog post. Which, why isn't my blog showing up on Google?
That's a great question, because I'm pretty sure maybe I have some content that isn't ranking or has shown up on Google at all. First and foremost, you should learn, I guess, the basic rules of SEO and what, you know, Google kind of needs to be able to parse through your content easily and understand what it's about. So that's one thing. Next thing is you have to consider the age of your domain, because the older it is, probably the more time it has had to exist. And older sites tend to get more preference. I mean, of course, they need to have like good content too, but older sites tend to have more preference. So if you just started a blog like yesterday, and there's a good chance it won't be around on Google for quite a bit, unless you're lucky or you're picking a niche that no one else really talks about. Another thing is maybe you're violating some rules and they delisted you. And what do you think?
Yeah, I think if you're asking it after the first, second, third, or fourth or fifth blog post, then the answer is clearly you haven't been around for long enough and you don't have enough content on your site.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, you're either targeting a keyword that nobody searches, in which case, I guess your blog post would show up on Google, but you wouldn't be getting any traffic. Or if it's actually not showing up on Google, then the other option is just you chose a keyword that is too competitive. It's so like if you start a new blog and try to write a blog post about
how to make money fast.
How to make money fast. Or
weight loss.
Or about how to start a blog for that matter. It will probably take you a while to even get on like the second or third or fourth page because they're so competitive, right?
Yeah. All right. Next question for you. How to name a blog?
That's a good question. I'm not so creative with this. So my, as you know, Yuri, and as probably some of the people listening know, my aviation blog is just called KN Aviation. So it's just K Shinokin Aviation. So it's very descriptive and it's very simple. And it's about the first name that came to my mind because I'm really not good at choosing catch names or whatever. Or I guess you could just choose some sort of thing like planet or I don't know, planet world. Or land. Or, yeah, world or something where whatever topic it is that you're writing about. So you could do like Animal Planet. Although I guess that's a TV station, so you couldn't do that. Yeah. Something along those lines. Or you could just pick a name that's kind of random, but that's related to the topic that you're writing about and that has some sort of meaning. Like on the aviation side, there's blogs that are called like 1 Mile at a Time or View from the Wing or Live and Let's Fly. So you could try to get something catchy like that. But I think at the end of the day, it doesn't matter too much, probably.
Yeah,
I agree. You clearly can choose a really bad name, but you don't have to try to find the best name in the world to succeed.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you can try and think of a really snappy, cute, catchy name, or you can go for something. My opinion on this is if you're doing it around a certain topic, it should probably involve the name should contain that topic just to make, I don't know, just to, I guess, have the website fit in line with it. Because if you're searching for how to like tie a tie and there's two websites to choose from, one is like Funky Bob's internet tutorials and the other one is like how to look like a man, you probably click on how to look like a man and they have an article about how to tie a tie, you know?
Yeah.
Although you never know, Funky Bob, again, this is where like name isn't, I don't think it's such a big deal. At times, like if Funky Bob is 10 times better material, then Funky Bob will always be known as the guy with the better tie tying tutorial. That was a tongue twister to say.
maybe funky Bob is a beast.
Yeah, you never know.
Step on every occasion.
So I think names, yeah, I don't think names are too important. My personal one is yourblog.com, which I swiped the idea from someone else. Just put my name and put blog in there, you know, that's it.
Yeah. All right, I've got a pretty basic but deep question for you. Why blog or why do people blog or why do you blog? Why should somebody blog?
It's definitely a deep question. I guess the first and biggest thing is you want to talk about something and you just happen to prefer writing as your medium. Or yeah, I think that's the first thing that kind of strikes me. So that's why, wait, am I answering it? Well, was there more to this?
Well, I guess essentially the question is what would be some reasons why people start the blog?
All right. So yeah. So one, you have something that you want to talk about and you want to write about it and you want to publish content about it. Maybe you want to get involved with the industry somehow online. Second thing is, I guess, if you want to create a passive income channel one day, I mean, it's not going to happen on day one. It's probably not going to happen on day 100. That's another reason to start, although it's not probably a reason that'll keep you in the game long term. I don't know. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think there's essentially two groups of people that start blogs. And I guess one is people that have something to say or that have something to share or that just want to keep record of something. And two is group of people that start blogs to turn them into assets that make them money over time. My aviation blog started sort of as a place to just share my trips and share my photos and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas some of my later blogs were started essentially with the purpose of making money from the very beginning. But yeah, in either case, I think you have to enjoy writing or you have to enjoy reading or you have to enjoy this platform. Because if you're just going to do it for the money, you're probably not going to stick to it.
Yeah, because you need the time. And if you don't enjoy putting in the time, then you're not going to make enough content. Because the thing is, like, it's also a numbers game, right? The more you stick with it, you're going to put out a lot of content. A lot of content is not going to work, but some will work. And those are the content that you'll take notice of. and repeat the process and try to repeat, you know, repeat the success there. Yeah. But if someone hasn't spent enough time and putting out as much work to start seeing what works and what doesn't work, it's never going to work for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So my next question for you is how to write an about me for a blog. I think a lot of people struggle in writing about themselves. And it's also funny, like if you land on a blog post, let's say you're Googling how to, I don't know, how to tie a tie or how to add certain code to your website, you know, like at the end of the blog post, there's like a bit of about me about the author who wrote that. And they usually have like a really corny about me. Like,
so. Yeah, I think, I guess my number one tip is if you're the only writer on the blog, then write in first person. Because I know there are some people that they're the only writer on the blog, but they write stuff like, Keshnukina was born in Slovakia and now he lives in Japan, blah, blah, blah. Like, if you're the only guy on the blog, then write in the first person. That's one.
Yeah.
Two, share your story. I think people like to hear your story, especially if it's related to whatever it is that you're blogging about, and make it focused on that. So I think if you're blogging about cats, then don't write about your experience fixing cars unless you found your first cat while you're fixing a car or something. So I think keep it relevant to the topic of the blog, because I guess they're just basic marketing, right? Just keep the message kind of on point for whoever's supposed to be reading it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there's many ways your story can be told. There's many ways my story can be told, from depending on what the audience is. And just don't try to include everything, because if you try to include everything, it just becomes a biography. And
yeah,
that would take forever to write and to read. So just keep it focused, keep it pretty short. And I'd say one last thing is include a way somebody can reach you, whether that's email or Instagram or whatever it might be, where somebody can directly reach you. I think that's good, especially if you're small, because once you build a big following, then that might be counterproductive. But I think especially in the early days, and while you still have relatively small audience, I think that can be nice to connect with the people that actually follow you.
I agree. I don't have much. Keep it succinct, keep it relevant, and give out contact information just in case.
All right, let's go to the next question, which would be how many blog posts somebody posts per week.
How many blog posts? Okay. Personal. This is a personal choice that you have to decide upon. You could choose to do once a month, twice a week, twice a month. You know, of course, it is a game of numbers in some way. The more you post, the more content, the more of the content you have that will have a chance to get ranked on Google. But first and foremost, I think it's a personal choice, because it's up to your work ethic. It's about up to your availability and willingness to put in the work. In my case, I did like once a month when I first started many, many years back. But that's because I was just playing around, didn't know what I was doing. And then I developed a groove and I started posting about four times a month. So again, up to you, but I guess consistency is the name of the game. So whatever number you come up with, stick with it. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd say it depends on whether you're building the blog for organic traffic or whether you're building some sort of audience.
Because
I think if you're building an audience, then people expect consistency. So like if somebody posts once a week, then I know that I can expect their new post every week on Wednesday or something, just like with our podcast, for example. Whereas if you're building it for search traffic, I guess there's two approaches. You could kind of snipe different topics and then build links and like work hard on having a few posts ranked. Which is fine, I guess. But personally, I prefer the kind of spray and pray approach in a way.
Yeah.
Where like you post as many posts as possible with solid targeting, solid keywords, of course, and stuff like that. And again, not all of them will be a success, but you make enough of them successful to make it worth as an effort overall. And in that case, I think as many as you can. Like on my main blog, I post 10 times per week, so twice every workday. On another blog, I post 2 times a week. On another one, I tried 5 times, but I was busy with other things and just couldn't keep up. So I'm trying to reduce that to 3 times per week. And yeah, it really depends on where you allocate your time, your resources, your money, if you're paying somebody else to write the post.
Agreed. All right. Next one.
Yep.
Yes. Next question. How long should a blog post be?
That's a good question. And I think there's no right answer, just because like if somebody asks you, what is the time now? Then the answer is 2 words. Whereas if somebody asks you whatever question, like why is the sun yellow or something, then that's for longer.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say there's no like fixed word count that you should aim for, but still, if you're trying to get Google traffic, I like my post to be at least 800, 900 or 1,000 words long. Sometimes they would be 2,000, sometimes 1,000, sometimes 800. But I probably wouldn't go under 800.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, I just look at what are the other sites that that rank for the keyword that I want to rank for, and kind of average it out and try to figure out something that's reasonable. Because again, some questions can be answered in 500 words, others in 800, others in 1,000, others need 2,000.
Agreed. I had, I think, a post I showed you from like many years back. I think it had like 200 or 100 words maximum. And it was like ranked number second. It was like second or third or fourth. But the thing with that is like eventually someone else, a competitor, will catch on and see, oh, this website posted this post for this keyword and it's only 200 words. We can easily beat it with something with much more content. So they will. Well, it depends on how Google sees it. But it kind of, if I saw an article like that, that would be my first thought too. I can probably over-optimize and do better than this guy. So I also follow like 100 words per article.
All right. Yeah, sounds good. I think, yeah, 200 stuff. Sometimes you see those blog posts ranking, but generally I think it's somewhere at least in like the 500, 600, 700, 800 words range.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess it's my turn to ask a question now. Here's a question that I think everybody wants to know the answer to the first, and that is, how much money can you make blogging?
How much money can you make blogging? And this could, I don't want to sound extreme, but this can be anywhere from zero to like millions, but comes with a big but. It depends on the one, the time that you spent putting into your blog, two, the product or niche that you chose, because you can choose to write about a certain product and it's just simply does not sell as much as something else, or simply wouldn't bring as much. For example, I think how to earn money place, like anything that's related to health, wealth, investments of sorts, those will probably earn the bloggers like a lot of money. And something else like, you know, promoting various dog related products won't give you as much money. So literally it depends on those factors and also the size of your audience. You know, if you have a lot of audience, then you can easily scale like a $10 product. And if you sell that $10 product to like a million people, then you have like, you know, 10 million bucks or so.
Yeah, I think this is not really a good question, I think, because it's like asking how much money can you make with a business, or how much money can you make at a job, and the range is
It's kind of like asking how much could I as a person make. It's like, well, it depends. If you become an investment banker, you'll make X. If you become airline pilot, you'll make Y.
Yeah, exactly. And blogging is essentially like a business, right? It's like starting a business. So you choose a product or you choose an audience. And then it also depends on how good you are actually, and how good your decisions are, and how good your content is, whether you're writing it yourself or somebody else writing it for you. So it really depends. And you'd be surprised how relatively big size you can build even in space like gardening or something. Mm-hmm. Like I know there's a gardening blog that makes tens of thousands of dollars a month and is essentially run by one or two people. Yeah. And you'd also be surprised that you wouldn't be surprised to hear that probably like 99.9% of bloggers make zero.
Yeah.
But yeah, I believe that if you work on your blog consistently and relatively smartly, or making relatively right decisions and choosing the right keywords and writing decent content, then sooner or later you're going to make an okay amount of money at the very least.
Agreed. All right. Next question for me, or is it, which one of us is asking?
you are asking.
Okay. Next question for you is, how to get ads on your blog?
Yeah, so there's two ways, I guess. If you're talking about like a regular display ads, like the ads that you would see all over different blogs, and one is, I guess, you can go directly to the advertiser, or two is you can go through one of the platforms, one of the exchanges or whatever they're called, like Google AdSense and Azoic and AdThrive, I think is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first case, it takes quite a bit of effort, right? Because you have to approach people and you have to negotiate deals, and you have to decide what you're going to post when and stuff like that. Whereas in the second case, essentially you put a script on your page and that deals with the ads directly. So I think the second way is much better and can earn you a decent amount of money. You can start with Google AdSense, which is probably the easiest one to get into and doesn't require too much traffic, but you will probably only earn like a couple of dollars depending on how much traffic you have. I think once you get to like 10,000 visitors a month or so, then you can go to Azoic, and then you can go to Mediavine and AdThrive, and those networks make it much easier to earn decent amount of money per 1,000 visitors.
I have nothing to add to that. Yeah, I guess it just depends on the number of traffic, the amount of traffic that you get, and because like you said, various advertising platforms require initial limit or initial minimum threshold of traffic that you must reach before they will accept you in.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let me ask another question. How to find blog topics? I think that's another question that a lot of people ask and often struggle with, even those that run blogs for a fairly long time.
Are we talking about blog topics as in like the topic for your blog overall, or like things to write about for a blog that you already have?
No, I think for a blog that you already have. So like blog post topics.
Okay. Well, I guess you work backwards from, you take whatever niche or whatever topic that is the umbrella overarching theme of your website or your blog, and you work from there. And the easiest thing you could do is you can go into Google, and let's say you are writing about, I don't know, pets, right? So what can you do? It'd be like how to something pet. And then here you have like how to pet a dog, how to raise pet ducks. Basically, there are many ways. First of all, okay, the easiest thing you could do is find a competitor, see what kind of blog posts they write, and you mimic them. If you don't know exactly where you're starting off from, that will give you some idea. Second thing is go on a free keyword tool like Uber Suggest or Google Keyword Planner, enter your niche or the topic of your blog, and it'll give you suggested keywords that people often search. And those should give you some ideas of what to write about. And those will also give you the search volumes, as in like how many people search for example, how to pet a dog or how to put a leash on a dog or what kind of leash to buy for a dog. And that'll give you an idea like this post, so this keyword gets like 100 searches a month, but this one gets 1,000 searches a month. Maybe you want to aim for 1,000, maybe you want to aim for 100, but that's a different conversation. Another thing you could do is simply, I don't know, open up Notepad or open up a notebook and write out all the things that you can talk about within that topic. But ultimately what we do is we tend to go to the numbers. So we'll use these keyword tools and see all the kind of topics, all the kind of related keywords there are that we haven't touched yet. And we will try and think of some posts based on those. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think you summarized it pretty well. I think you'd brainstorm them out of your own head and note it down on a piece of paper or in your notepad or something, or use one of the tools that either you mentioned, like Uber Suggest or Keyword Planner or some of the others like Ahrefs or something. And then, just type in your keyword or type in your competitor and start from there. There's no matter what niche you pick, there's tons and tons of topics that you can write about.
Agreed. All right. Next question for you.
All right.
How to take blog pictures. What do you think about this one? Because I think, if you're writing stuff, then you kind of want pictures to complement your text. So how to take blog photos is the actual question.
All right, that's a good question. I guess first, before even taking the photos, I guess there's three ways that you can go about when it comes to your blog post graphics. And one is just make graphics that's not photos, so like illustrations sort of. Or you can take your own photos, or you can buy stock photos from Shutterstock or Deposit Photos or download them from one of the free photo libraries. And I think in most cases, probably just stick with the stock photo route. I think that's more than enough. And if you search hard enough, you can find photos that don't actually look like stock photos or that can illustrate the post, the problems that you're writing about good enough. And it will save you a lot of time. And you'll pay like $1 or something per photo. I think if you're in like a lifestyle sort of blogging situation or travel blogging or something similar, then it's definitely good to take your own photos. And in that case, it's very easy, right? You just take photos of the experience that you're writing about. So if it's a lifestyle blog and you're writing about your daughter's birthday party or something, then take photos at your daughter's birthday party. Whether it's your actual daughter or if you don't want to show her face or something, then just take a photo of the cake or something. All right. And if it's a travel blog, again, take photos of either the destination, the aircraft, the train, whatever. If you want to be in the photos, be in the photos. Take them with tripod or ask somebody to take them for you. If you don't want to be in the photos, just take photos of the experience like I do for my aviation blog.
One thing they could do is go to Canva.com. Canva.com is a free picture making tool that, you can come up with a template and that's it. You put some, if you ever wondered how people make those social media pictures with like text image, then you can use that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I was kind of thinking of that as part of the stock photo libraries, but Yeah, rather than having to buy a photo at a time, there's all these tools like Canva. Both you and I are using a tool called Stencil. We got it for like, what, 50 yeah. bucks on AppSumo. I think there's a couple others that are similar. And they're essentially online photo editors that come with like a stock photo library attached to it. So you can get thousands or tens of thousands of photos for free while using it.
All right.
Yeah, while we're at the topic of creating content for a blog, I have another question, which is how to create freebies for a blog. And actually, I'll expand on this question. And before you talk about how to create freebies for a blog, can you just briefly talk about why you would want to actually do that?
If you have a blog, then chances are you want to retain your audience. You know, if someone comes to your blog, they read an article like, oh, that's great and cool and all, but you want this person to come back and become a repeat reader, just like you would want to have a repeat customer. And just like you would want someone to subscribe to your YouTube channel so they can watch more of your YouTube videos, you want these people to come back to your blog and read more posts. And for that, you need to entice them with something free. And for example, that would be like, download my free book when you sign up for my newsletter and get notified of new posts. So freebies are used to entice people to join your newsletter or your membership so that you can contact them again. Now, to create a freebie, I guess one, it really depends what your audience or what your target audience ideally is after, and you can try and give it to them, you know, what they find valuable. If you have a website about pets, then you can come up with a free resource of all the things that, I don't know, a dog needs to stay healthy in its first week or, you know, in the first month that you own it. You can, for example, take a compilation of your past blog posts, put them together, and now you have a bit of an ebook, and that's a freebie. You can record some exclusive videos that, you know, people won't see on the front of your website in the front end, but you can give them as the freebie for when they sign up. You can write up an ebook, a separate ebook. You can provide, a PDF checklist. It really depends on what the audience will ultimately find valuable.
Yeah, I think that summarizes it really well. I would just add that sometimes it can be a PDF or something like Yuri was mentioning. Other times it can be even something like a quiz results, right? Like you see these things where it's like, what is the best airline for you to fly with or something? And then before you actually get the answer, they ask you for your email. So yeah. So that's a freebie in a way too, I guess, getting to do that quiz. But yeah, I think PDFs are in general the most popular ones, whether it's forms you can fill out, like a diary form sort of thing, or a PDF version of the blog post or some additional content.
Agreed. Next question for you, Keishi. How do you make money blogging, or how would you monetize a blog?
Yeah, so personally, most of my money comes from display ads, like we were talking a few minutes back. In my case, it's Mediavine, but essentially people come to my blog, and as they read, they see some banners, and that's what pays me fairly well. And the other way I make money is Amazon Associates, so that's Amazon's affiliate program. And again, when somebody comes on my blog post, and they click on an Amazon link, and they go to Amazon and buy something, then Amazon pays me a certain percentage of that sale. The nice thing about that is that Amazon pays for the entire order. So even though my blog is about aviation, for example, sometimes I sell apples, sometimes I sell computers and stuff like that. And apples, I mean like the actual apples, like one.
Not the Apple computer.
One apple for 99 cents, sort of. Not the Apple computer, even though that happens every now and then too. You can sell your own products, whether digital or physical. So that would just be like any other business. You can make an ebook, or you can make a course on the digital side, or you can have some sort of product like a tripod or essentially any product that you just promote to your audience and that you sell, whether you get it made in China or buy it from somewhere else and just resell it. There's really many different models you can use. And I guess the last one that I think is worth mentioning is just selling some sort of services, which would essentially mean you're using your blog as a way to promote your personal brand or your consulting company. We have other people working for you. There's many productivity bloggers that blog about like what tools should you use to be productive, and then they also sell their time for, let's say, $100 for 1 hour call or something.
The easiest ones for a beginner would be an affiliate program and ads.
Yeah, by far, I think.
So I think that's whoever's just starting out their first blog or their first side hustle. Those are areas they should look at first, but definitely move on to the other areas like creating their own products or offering consulting or offering their other services. If you're a photographer, a videographer, designer, or anything that can be done online, you can post it up there. And if you have a blog that's based around your work, then, you know, it's a lot easier to sell your work.
Exactly. All right. Let me ask a similar money-related question, except this one asks, how much to charge for blog posts? So I guess we can flip it around and say, how much should somebody pay for a blog post if they want somebody else to write it for them?
Well, that's a great question, because I've not... How much to charge per blog post? As in, like, there's someone's reaching out to you with a blog and they want you to write a blog on your blog?
No, I mean, I think it's, if you're the writer, how much should you charge? So, like, somebody wants you to write a blog post for them. So, yeah. So you flip it around, it's essentially how much should you pay your writers?
Yeah. I go between 30 and 50 bucks per article, 900 words. That's just an example. The easiest thing you could do is you can go on Upwork and see what people's rates are. But those rates can be flexible depending on the topic and depending on the deadlines. For example, in my case, I don't exactly ask for a two-day turnaround. I usually give like 2 weeks or so. That's my answer. I don't know. Like, how much would you charge?
Yeah, I think when I have people write for my blogs, it's usually anywhere between 25 to 30 bucks per 1,000 word. So I guess I'm a bit cheaper than you are. But it really depends on the type of content you want, the quality, and how much research is needed and stuff like that. So, like, I definitely wouldn't write a blog post for that price, right? But there's many people that are willing to and that are happy to write blog posts for that price. And I think for, like, typical blogs, typical content sort of sites, yeah, I think anywhere between 25 and probably 50 bucks per 1,000 words is probably the standard.
Yeah. And like you said, it also depends on the topic at hand. Like, if it's a really specialized topic that requires a lot of research and maybe requires you to access, like, to have an actual expert write about it, then yeah, that's going to cost more. But if you're, you know, hiring beginners that are just looking to break into writing online and building content, then you can go cheaper because they're still looking to, like, build up their portfolio.
Yeah. So what was the most that you paid for a blog?
Most I paid for was, I think, $100 for a 900 word article.
Wow.
It was an experiment, and I mean, I still have it up. I don't think it was the best investment, but again, like, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't pay more, because ultimately the topic is really based on what you ask of them to write. And sometimes you pick like simply you don't pick a performing topic in general. So that means, like, I don't say you should go cheap, but you should, the outcome really comes from what you pick in the first place and how you outline it for them.
Yeah, I think the writing is, as long as it's good enough, then it's good enough. Whereas if you choose a bad keyword, then no matter how good the article is, it's not going to pay for itself. But about 100 is a lot. I think the most I paid was 30 per thousand.
It was just an experiment, you know, just wanted to try it out and see if I could see if, because I know, like, I would make ROI if it did provide returns. So I was, I guess, open to experimenting with, it was like a brand new article and the person was much more qualified. So I was like, yeah, let me give it a shot. So just so, like, there's no confusion and there's no constant back and forth for feedback. I just wanted it done.
Yeah. I think it's, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm sure you have many blog posts that make tens of dollars a month regularly for a pretty long period of time and probably even some that make hundreds of dollars regularly. And when you think about it that way, then paying 100 bucks for a blog post that continues making you, whatever, 20 bucks for 2, 3, 4 years, it's pretty damn good deal.
Yeah. So in that sense, you know, I don't exactly wince when paying for it, knowing how much I could, you know, the return that I could get. All right. Next question for you. Ready? Learning how to blog. I guess the question is, how can I learn to how to blog? Or how can I learn to blog? What do you think?
That's a good question. Let me see. How did I learn to blog? All right. I guess first I just started kind of playing around with different blogging platforms, especially the free ones in the very beginnings. That was like 13 years ago. Then I just set up my first WordPress page, and I followed a lot of blogs about blogging, whether it's like smartpassiveincome.com, Pat Flynn, or nichepursuits.com, patstacks.com. Yeah, there's so many blogs about blogging, and like, you can read all of them, and at some point a lot of the content kind of starts overlapping, and at some point you just got to jump in and try doing it yourself, and probably you will fail in the beginning, or you will have some success, you will have some failures. So like, my biggest learning experience was, I think, just starting my aviation blog, which I didn't start to make any money. I just started because I love aircraft and because I wanted a place to put all my like flight reports and things like that. And then kind of reverse engineering how how that went gave me a lot of insight into how I should start future blogs if I want them to make money right away. And if I want the process to be easier, because travel is a really competitive space, because everybody wants free travel, essentially. People imagine when you talk about travel blogs, right?
Yeah.
So, I think you got to read about the basics and you got to kind of get immersed in it, whether it's for YouTube videos or for blog posts or something. But at the end of the day, you just got to do it. That's, I think, the best learning experience. How about you?
Agreed. I just say, you know, find the first template. Whatever first article teaches you what to do, just take that and run with it. And you can reiterate later. There's not really much to learn. It's just like write, edit, publish. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's the other thing. That's a great point. Because at the end of the day, after all this reading and watching and learning and doing, you just realize that it's essentially a very simple process that you just keep repeating over and over and over and over again. And really the most difficult part of it is how to do it consistently and how to stick with it more than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Writing one is not an issue as much as the bigger issue is how do you keep going?
Yeah, exactly. All right. All right. You're more of a sports guy than I am. So here's a question.
Am I? I'm as much of a sports guy as you are.
I think it's hard to be less of a sports guy than I am. So
I am about as much of a sports guy as all right, you're asking the wrong person here.
How to start a sports blog.
How to start a sports blog.
I think you can answer that even if you're not a sports guy.
Yeah. I think this goes back to how do I pick the topics to write about for my blog. And first of all, what kind of sports are you writing about, right? Let's say you have that nailed down. Let's say you're, all right, I'm going to do baseball or something. So one thing you could do is you can go ahead and refer back to the question of how do I pick a topic to write about? You can go to those free keyword tools and put in baseball and see all the things that people search about. Like, you know, how fast should I throw? I have no idea. How fast should I throw a ball? Or, you know, how do I strike someone out?
Yeah.
And there you go. And there's topics that you can write about related to sports. Again, you can also take a pen and paper and write out a list of questions that you would like answered or you think people ask about when it comes to sports. Usually, and if you're a sports guy, then you're probably aware of like what us non-sports people like Casey and I ask about that you get frustrated about and you just want to answer in one blog post. There's that. I guess you can also follow the news aspect of it because there's always some team playing and some team winning and losing. You could do sports analysis. Now, I don't know if that's going to show up on Google, but I think that's how you could start a sports blog.
Yeah, great answer. I think actually it's interesting that the first thing that hit my mind after I read this question was actually the last thing that you mentioned, which is like a sports news sort of site.
Yeah.
And my thought was just, yeah, don't do that because it's a hamster wheel because you got to just keep pumping out content and the content is all the moment you publish it essentially.
Yeah.
But I think the angle that you mentioned about like how to strike somebody out or how to throw a curveball or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a great angle. There's probably a lot of opportunity there, especially like obscure sports like pickleball or
something. Yeah. Pickleball all the way. I don't know what that is. Go pickleball. Imagine the team names that they have for the Pickleball League of United States of America. The Pennsylvania Pickles. The New York, what do they have? The New York Cucumbers? Well, yeah. All right. So back to me. My next question for you is, Keishi.
Yep.
How would you sell a blog? How to sell a blog?
Selling a blog. Yeah. So I haven't sold a blog yet. I've bought a blog and I guess I can talk about that and just flip it around. So I bought it on this marketplace called Flippa, FLIPPA.com. And you can find a lot of listings there. The site is pretty shady. There's a lot of listings that are essentially fraudulent, I think, pretty relevant to these days. But there's also some other sites like Empire Flippers and FA International, I think was the other one, where you can buy, which are more legit, and all of the listings are vetted, actually, unlike Flippa, which is more like an eBay or more like a marketplace, like an open marketplace. But in either case, you can either go through one of these brokers / marketplaces, or you can try to, I guess, do like a private sort of deal. So if you have a blog about flowers, then you could try to reach out to different gardening blogs and see if they want to buy your blog and expand their blog, right?
Actually, I have some emails that I've gotten, people asking if I'm interested in selling my blog. So that's definitely an option. I think people do, especially internet marketers or people that want to own web properties, they will scan the internet for various blogs that they think perform well and email the owner or the administrator directly.
Yeah, I've got some of those too. And I definitely am happier to receive those than the ones that that ask for a backlink or something. But
yeah,
I have yet to say yes to any of those offers. But it can be very lucrative, right? Because blocks sell for like 30, anywhere between like 25 and 35 times their monthly revenues usually. If it's like revenue that doesn't cost much, so like ad revenue or affiliate revenue that comes from organic traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be really cool, right? If you have like a blog that makes $3,000 a month, then you can sell it for $400,000 or around that amount. Yeah. If you need a good cash injection, or if you have a blog that makes $30,000 a month, then essentially you're a millionaire in theory. So
here's a question that I don't know if you have the answer to, but I'm curious. Let's say you're selling a blog and then let's say it's pretty pricey. Let's say it's in the hundred thousands or millions. How long does that process take place, or how long does it take? You know, do you get money instantly, or is there like a certain legal process to go through?
Yeah, so as far as I understand, and from like the couple of case studies I read on this and stuff like that, for bigger deals like that, and if you go through like Empire Flippers or FE International or one of those pretty reputable brokers, they essentially take care of everything, and I believe you just get the amount wired at the end of the day. Now, I think what's common with the bigger deals, so if it's like $500,000 or a couple hundred thousand dollars or something, sometimes they're not all cash, right? So sometimes you get 100,000 out of your 200,000 right away, and then the rest comes as whatever, 50% of revenue of the site or some sort of performance tied compensation. And I think that just so that you don't sell your blog for $500,000 and then the next day the blog loses all traffic and essentially the other person's completely screwed. But yeah, I think there's still a lot of just all cash deals that did happen all the time.
Okay.
All right, so my second last question, and that leaves you with two as well, would be how to choose a domain name for a blog. So I think we talked about the blog name itself, but how about the domain? So I think we can also talk about the .com and slash.
Okay. I think like it's okay for your blog and your domain to be the same, unless, but yeah, if you, let's say you have a goal of one day starting a company, and then there's no reason that the blog name and the website or the .com or the company name should be different. So I think you should put in as much thought in there as you put in coming up with your blog name. What do you think? I think it's a similar question. I wouldn't invest too much time into it.
Yeah, I think one thing I'd say is that you don't necessarily have to go for .com, even though it has a lot of, I guess in general, it's kind of perceived as more reputable, but more and more companies are going for other extensions like .io or .net or whatever, just because a lot of the .com domains are already claimed, right? I think the other thing that is that I guess that I partially disagree with what you said there is if you have a company and you're starting a blog, I think you have two ways, and one could be like if your company is whatever Titan Corporation, then you could just have a blog under that name, or you could have a completely separate name that promotes your products and that kind of makes it separated. Now I think there's some moral and ethical issues with that, and to the extent and the extent to which you do that, I think there's even been some losses of like mattress companies that had blogs that just put their mattress at the top and things like that. Now unfortunately I think it's happening all the time, but yeah, I think there's those two ways if it's corporate blog, but yeah, overall I think just your blog name .com if it's not available, then .net or something else. Or if you're in a specific country, then it could even be something like .jp if you're in Japan, for example. But yeah, don't overthink it, as Yuri said.
Yeah, I don't think it's one of these things that should take up too much time. All right, so my next question for you is how to write an effective blog.
An effective blog. That's an interesting phrase that I never heard before. In the first episode,
it's a loaded phrase. Yeah, it's a loaded question.
Yeah, so let's call it a blog that helps you achieve whatever it is that you want to achieve. So it might be making a lot of revenue. It might be convincing a lot of people. It might be selling a lot of your product. But in either case, I think to have an effective blog, to write an effective blog, you have to have some sort of strategy in place, I think. And I think that strategy needs, I guess you could say, two parts, three parts. And one is definitely what is the type of content that you're going to publish. Two is how are you going to get the traffic? And three is how are you going to convert people? So whether that is converting people to do whatever it is that you want them to do. So, I don't know, start a new diet or something, or to buy your product, or to, I don't know, to subscribe to your Patreon or something. And I think once you figure out those three parts, which is the traffic, the content, and the monetization slash the effect, you can have an effective block, whatever that means for you. Now, I know it's a vague answer, but it's also a very vague question.
So. I would first, you know, comment, say, you know, what is your definition of effective? Is effective meaning that you have a lot of traffic? Does effective mean that you are giving them the correct answer? Does effective mean that you're earning money? Because sometimes effective, you know, a blog that earns money does not mean that they're pumping out exactly quality content or truthful content. So some of these things don't go hand in hand together. So I think first you should definitely define what do you mean by effective.
All right. And I guess this will be the last question of the episode.
Uh-oh.
So it has to be a good one. Let me see if we have any good ones left. This will be similar to what we had, but I think this talks more about scaling this thing rather than just doing this little blog. And the last question is how to start a blogging business. So I think, on kind of a higher level than just how to start a blog. How do you turn your blog into an actual business? How to start a
So I guess a business, like the definition of a business, it's a profit-seeking venture, right? Where you have costs, you know, you have expenses and you have profits, right? Am I in line with that?
Yeah.
Do you think? Okay. So once you have that, first of all, you have to start making money with your blog, and you have to repeat the process that whether it's just writing new posts and whatever. If you notice what makes you money and repeat more of that, you're now in the pursuit of profit-seeking activities, which, you know, by tax standards no longer places your activity as a hobby, but more as a personal business. So at that point, you're in business. And, you know, if you're basically, case in point, if you made your first few bucks and you start repeating that process again and again to make more money, you're now in business, at which point you have profits and you probably have expenses as well. So that being said, how do you scale it? Well, in the case of a blog, you just post more content. You take a look at what has been working. You do more of that. You grow your audience base and, you know, you pump out more products to them. It's, I don't know. It's a really big and broad question.
Yeah, I think that, that's definitely right. And I just add that starting to think of what you're doing as operating business rather than running a blog, I think there's a huge kind of shift in how you think. And I think in the first way, your main goal is to create content. I think in the second case, your main goal is to create a system that creates content. And I think I think it's wider. It just includes, like, whether it's looking for writers or looking for other people that can help you with building the blogs, and also starting to diversify, whether it's starting a second blog or adding a different monetization to your blog. Or I think just taking it more seriously than you would if you're just, quote unquote, if you're just blogging.
Green, yeah. So I think, long story short, if you're already earning money and if you're doing whatever you're doing to earn more money, by legal definition, that is a business already. So you already have a business on your hand.
Yeah.
All right. And that was the last question, right? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the 24th episode of the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast with Keishi and Yuri. Today, we covered a number of questions related to blogging, how to blog, how to start a blog, how to maintain one, how to make money off of it, and all the little steps in between. We also mentioned a lot of tools like Uber Suggest, like Flippa, Stencil, Canva, that will help you either build a blog, maintain a blog, or profit from a blog. And we will include all of these tools in the show notes for this podcast. So visit sidehustlesandstuff.com/e24 to get a full list of the tools that we mentioned. And if you do want to start your own blog, do definitely check out the show notes at sidehustlesandstuff.com/e24. Check out Bluehost, where you can buy your own domain and start your own blog and start your own little business today. Keishi, do we want to leave them with any final insights?
Not necessarily insight, but I think if there's any other question that anybody listening to this has, or if there's any question that they want us to expand on in more detail or do a full episode on, then they should leave us a comment in the show notes.
Or leave us a nice rating on iTunes podcast or Apple podcast, whatever it's called nowadays. And we'll see you next week.
Talk to you next week.
This has been the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast, and probably blooper time if there's any for this episode. Wait, are you asking it or?
Oh, wait, you're asking, right? Because this was my...
I thought you asked me how many times, and then I asked you back.
The last part I was speaking was my answer to your question, right? I mean, my answer to your answer to my question.
How to get ads again. This has been the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast.